Welcome to Super Tatis for Parshas Chukos Balak. Let's start with three stories. The first one is one that really gave me a lot of pause, and I'm still digesting, but I want to share it with you because I think it's worthwhile for you to consider and see if you can digest it with your family as well. This entire recording and the series is predicated on the idea that generally we should be learning from Gedolei Torah and Talmidei Chachamim and Great Tzaddikim, to the extent that they have lessons that are applicable to us in one way or another with respect to Midos and Chavos Levavos. There are instances where you get stories which seem out of reach for one way or another, and here's one that I have been struggling with, and I want to see what you do with it. So there's a story about Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, and he was at a Shalom Zocher. At the Shalom Zocher, they were handing out arbus. They were handing out chickpeas. It's a mini Yisrael, and normally people eat them. What happened in this particular instance is there was a guy who had an extra dose of frumkite, and he said, "I don't eat the arbus because I have a chashash, I have a concern with respect to toloim. There may be bugs in there. Not allowed to eat a bug. Can be very, very serious, so I'm going to avoid it." And he did it in front of the balabas, and the balabas was embarrassed. When the arbus, obviously this started making other people not do it, and it made a whole hubbub, and then it came time for Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, and he said, "Pass the arbus, give it to me, and I'll eat it." And he ate it, and he said, "I'm not worried about the concern." So it's hard to understand what happened. The way the story goes is that afterward, he approached the gentleman who was opposed to eating the arbus, and he made derech tzachus, he made a drush, he said, "V'ani tolas v'lo ish, I'd rather eat the bugs than eat a person," meaning to say, it would be better for me to eat a bug than to embarrass a person. And obviously we're extraordinarily sensitive to the feelings of others, and specifically when it comes to embarrassment, it's like it's got a srach of shvichus damim. So like it's a really serious thing. It'd be better to jump into a kivshan ha'esh. But at the same time, we're also halachic people, right? So for example, the sugya in Brachos where we say the person finds kilayim in their clothing and they're in the shuk. The general mahalich, if it's a durabanan, maybe there's something you can talk about in terms of gadol kovad uvias shadochet lo saseb shabbat Torah, and that's lo saser. But with respect to arises, you're kind of out of luck. Ein etza neged Hashem. There's nothing you can do. Meaning, Kadosh Baruch Hu made these rules, contemplating, understanding, and perhaps even planning that that you would be in this situation and you would have to follow the halacha. So there's really nothing for you to say except for follow the rules. So how did Rabbi Zonnenfeld arrive at such a conclusion? So two mahalchim. The first one I kind of thought of is maybe that since it's got a srach of shvichus damim, that obviously eating a tola'a would be better than shvichus damim if we consider it, you know, very much like shvichus damim. And my chavrusa Jeremy mentioned maybe he only was worried about tola'a l'chumra, so he's willing to bypass a chumra. It's hard to understand, but there's one clear lekach and one clear question. The clear lekach is that we need to be extraordinarily careful about the feelings of others, specifically when it comes to embarrassment, and to the extent that even one of these stories, even if, you know, the Torah Shabbal Pev, this story may have changed or embellished or just not have gotten it completely clear or the full picture, you know, the first level thing we need to understand is why? Why? How careful are we supposed to be about other people? And the second thing that I'll mention about it is that I think that even though the stories of Tzaddikim and Gedolei Torah are very important, we still nearly have a critical eye and say, you know, before we hear stories about the Midas Chasidus of somebody and say we need to apply it exactly the same in the exactly same circumstance, we need to understand very deeply and very objectively the mitzius that we're trying to apply it to, because it could be that the protagonists of the stories that we're encountering would have handled the story completely differently. So that's my analysis, my preliminary analysis, and I'll leave it to you for the rest of the analysis. A story about the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish was at some sort of meeting where he was part of Avad, and they were making big communal decisions, and they made the communal decision, and he said he could see that they weren't ready to act on the decisions they made immediately. They were going to wait until the next day to kind of put it in place. And the Chazon Ish objected, and he said, if you made a decision, you need to act immediately. You need to rush and get it in place. This idea of Linu Po Alayla, and, you know, let it sit, that's from Parshas Balak. Last story is an interesting story about the Briska Rav. The Briska Rav met somebody who was not doing so well in terms of their Chavos Levavos, and within that world of the Chavos Levavos, he was just struggling. He said, I don't understand the Gemara in Menachos that says that, you know, when you look at the Techeles on your Tzitzis, you remember the Yam, and the Yam, the Yom Shamayim, the Shamayim, the Kisei HaKavod. I don't understand that. I mean, I don't understand, like, Makesher. And he thought about it, and he responded, well, do you understand the Chazal where it says if you look at the big day tzivonim of a woman, these colored beautiful clothing of a woman, it could get you to hear her Avera? He said, yeah, I can understand that. I can understand that. That connection is much more clear. So the response that Briska Rav gave was very, very clever, and I think that this is applicable to us in other ways. He says, the trouble here is not that you don't understand things. It's that your head is in the wrong spot. You know, your head is living in the world of the big day tzivonim of woman and not in the world of tzitzis and the kisei hakavod. And I think that that's really an important comment to us about where our headspace is. Meaning our headspace really needs to be for divrei ruach and not divrei hevel. And it's very hard because there's a lot of noise and beeps and buzzes, and our lives seem far busier than they've ever been. But nevertheless, I think that it is incumbent upon all of us to try to develop headspace in the right spot. My wife said to me something very, very interesting. She said that the place where people spend the most time in their life is in their consciousness. You need to make that a comfortable place. You need to make that a happy place. So to do that, it takes work. We need to build it, but that's not impossible. Okay, I'll tell you a Mivchar Pninim. This is from the Shara Sevel. I've been thinking about it a lot. Amar HaChacham, the Chacham said, Svola Emes V'im Yamir, says, Svola Emes. The Emes is what a Kodesh Baruch Hu does. Sometimes it's not comfortable. The MS is whatever Kadosh Baruch Hu does, says the Or HaPninim. Maybe this is talking about Yisurim. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives it to you, and you have to accept it. V'im Yemer is like Mar, right? Meaning if the Yisurim are bitter, that's okay. You need to accept them, and that sort of burden to carry. It has to be good for you in one way or another, and you just have to accept that. One Dvar Torah for Parshas Balak that I think is very, very important, I think is very pertinent. I say often the story of Baal Peor is placed at the end of this of Parshas Balak because we see a man who is a greater Navi than Moshe Rabbeinu, who is completely impotent as far as it comes to his ability to do anything to Klal Yisrael without a Kadosh Baruch Hu's acceptance and his seal of approval. But then you see this very strange story of Baal Peor, which on its face seems like an absolute bunch of nothing, which is catastrophic to Klal Yisrael. And the message that I see in that and have stated many times is that a Kadosh Baruch Hu can save us from anything, but he can't save us from ourselves. Meaning to say, we had no part in Bilam and Balak's evil plan, and we had no chelek in their, in their punishment. But since we were foolish enough to follow this extraordinary, absurd Baal Peor, that opened up the floodgates for us to receive onshim and punishments and whatnot. Next, just a thought about the Rashi when it talks about the Paraduma, when it says that it's the Satan and the Umos HaOlam that are Maranim against the mitzvahs that seem not to have a tam. I think that it's actually very instructive and very important for us to remember that generally speaking, when we have tainus, a lot of the time it's because we have the wrong perspective, like the story of the Briska Rav that I mentioned before, is that a lot of our tainus come from not objectivity, but it's you had a bad day. You say, why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu so mean? Right? You see something which doesn't seem, it doesn't seem right, but you never see the full tapestry. You're standing right up at the picture. So you say, this is unjust. Whatever it is, I think that fundamentally, the Chazal that Rashi is quoting is hinting to is much of our tainus in life, those little voices in our head, are coming from the satan and the umos ha'olam, and it's not coming from really within. And this is consistent with an idea that Rav Chanan Wasserman said, that generally when people have tainus like that, they have thoughts of minus, that's it's because of taiva. You know, they want to justify their desires to go in the wrong direction, so therefore they're willing to make kind of a shver logic, as it were. Now, Rav Yehuda Amital, who's Yortzeit's coming up, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, he seemed to think, and I think it was a Mahalik also in Rav Kook, that that really that wasn't the case. He said that there could be people with legitimate logical tainus, although I'm sure that he would also concede that oftentimes the case is not that way, right? It's just the question of whether or not it was possible at all. So just a thing to consider as we try to learn that Rashi carefully. One more Dvar Torah from the Chafetz Chaim, a structural concept, is that Chafetz Chaim says that Parshas Balak is a Parshas Stuma. There's no spacing in it. And it seems to symbolize the fact that there is no spacing. It's all done by Retzef. And we see in Parshas Vayikra, it starts with a Vav, and it says, because he wanted to give Moshe Rabbeinu revach lizbonein min ha-parshios. So the idea was, when there is a time to stop, and there's no retzef, we have an opportunity to think. And he says it was poor Bilam. Poor Bilam had all this stuff happening, even tragicomically, to have a ason speak to him and say such extraordinary things, and for him still to be so oblivious. It's just the storyline of how tragic it is when somebody does not think about their actions. And that was the Eitz of Paro. He said, you made them try to make us busy so we wouldn't be able to think. So it's just a reminder for all of us that this is the Eitz of the Eitz of Hara. It takes Nevi'im of the greatest caliber and turns them into fools because they're just not using their seichel. Now we see it says that Bilam brought karbanos, right? We all Balak u Bilam. Bilam came and he tried to give these karbanos, but we know that he was a suma nu'uma gever shesum ha'ayin. And one of the deus in Chazal is Nisma Echad Be'enov. And moreover, he might have been a chiger too, but is being pushed against the wall and whatnot. So the question is, the Gemara tells us that this person, this Balmum, is a he's puzzled to bring Karbonos even on Obama. So what was the Havamina for Bilam to be able to bring Karbonos? It's obviously symbolic, but that's something that needs to be teased out. Have a wonderful Shabbos.